Yeah, I just had a disaster in the kitchen. I had my can of Diet Coke for lunch, and I was putting it in the freezer, and I must have pricked something because I got a tiny pinhole prick and then started spraying Coke everywhere. You know when cans do that? It gets a little prick in it, a little hole, and it sprays
but
it
how
everywhere.
Did it, how did it get the little prick in it?
Look, sometimes if you just drop it from a small height, I had a flashback to an occasion. This is probably the last time it happened to me, was when I was on Hey Hey at Saturday, and possibly my first time I went on.
Yeah.
And I did a stand-up spot, and it went okay, and I was waiting in the green room to... I thought I should hang around.
Yeah, do a bit of schmoozing.
Yeah, these days I just go...
Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Plugger.
Well, you know, as I was in the green room...
Hey, Red.
And you know, I was a young... I would have been 25, 26, maybe. Yeah.
Young. Voice would have been a bit higher, would have talked a bit like that.
Yeah, yeah. I was younger.
Yeah, g'day, I'm
g'day, Dave O'Neill. What's going on with nightclubs? I did material about... I remember the material was about nightclub bouncers and... living in a shared house. Anyway, so I was in the green room by myself, and there was all this food. And so I had a plastic, like, Coles bag, and so I'm gonna put
what? You took some home?
Yeah, I put. Well, particularly the cans of Coke. I put a can of Coke in my plastic just bag.
You walk out of Channel 9 with a bag, people are going, what's going on there, buddy? They're going to go, anyway. Okay.
I didn't stack it up too high. It was just like a can of Coke and maybe some... Yep. You know, because I don't think the chips were in packets. Anyway, I'm hanging around, but I'm also drinking other stuff, you know, and then some of the other guests start filtering through. I can't remember, maybe. Who would have been in the 90s? Would have been, I don't know.
Farnham, maybe?
No, he wasn't. I never met Farnham. Yeah. No, but there was someone like, you know who it was, Merle Bainbridge.
Yep.
I can see the water, under the water. Yeah. She had a great song. Mel Bainbridge, maybe some of the 90s stars of TV, maybe, I don't know. I can't remember any 90s stars.
Craig McLaughlin. Oh, then
Craig
again,
McLaughlin?
You
had a run-in with him.
Yeah. Yeah, so you would have avoided him. Yeah.
Who's the guy that played Wheels in East Street, the good-looking guy that everyone liked? He might have been there.
Flicking his hair back, yeah.
Yeah, good-looking guy. Alex Dimitriadis. I don't know. Anyway, whatever.
Jeez, you seem to know the names pretty... I'm suspecting you've got a few posters on your wall still. Anyway,
so, you know, Russell came back. He was always very friendly, and Wilbur.
Wilbur Wilde.
Always up for a chat.
Red was just being himself.
Yeah, a bit weird. Ooh, another comedian. Yeah. Anyway, then Daryl came, and he goes, you know, because I don't think Daryl hung around much, but he just liked the...
Oh, no, Daryl never hung around.
But like the president, he'd just drop in and say thank you.
Yeah.
Leave.
Good show, everybody.
Yeah. And so he came back and he actually said, good show, everybody. And I went up and he said, oh, well done, Dave. And I shook his hand, but I picked up my plastic bag at the same time and my can of Coke fell out of the plastic bag.
Oh, so you were caught red handed, Coke handed.
And it sprung a leak and it rolled across the floor.
In your biopic, that's your opening scene. Roll the credits after that.
I'm pretty sure Daryl said you might want to get another one of those.
the Coca-Cola gods looked down and said, we're going to pay you back for this. And it caught you out. So today it was a can of Coke in the kitchen. And because it's sugary water, it's got artificial sugar in it.
Yeah.
It's still very sticky, isn't it? It's still really hard to clean up.
It is. Marcus Graham, that's who I was talking about. Marcus Graham.
Hello, Marcus. He's a big
great actor.
This program.
Great actor.
Marcus Graham. I wonder what Marcus is doing today.
He's in the Heights.
You know too much.
The ABC.
He's in the Heights. Made in West Australia.
Yeah, in Western Australia. Yeah. And he has to pash Ros Hammond. Ros Hammond had to pash him, apparently.
Oh, she wouldn't be quite happy about that.
Well, apparently, you know, everyone loved Marcus Graham, especially that our generation. The women loved Marcus Graham.
Oh.
So, yep.
Anyway,
highlight.
So it's all cleaned up. And what were you making in the kitchen?
I was making biscuits.
Why don't you just buy a packet of biscuits?
Nah, homemade biscuits are better, tastier, I reckon. And school's back. So one of my kids is back at school. Another one goes back tomorrow. The third one's still here.
Because
we're Victorian, so it's all staggered. And who have you pashed in a film?
Sigrid Thornton.
That wasn't in the film. That was just in the street. Weren't you?
Yeah, that was just up the shops one day. Yeah. Just, hi, Sigrid.
Love you in All Rivers Run. Great in sea change.
Anyway, there you go. See ya.
I saw her in a bakery once. Yeah, it was exciting. Yeah.
Saw her in a bakery.
Yeah. Had a chat to her.
Kath and I never used to really pash. I used to kiss her on the neck.
Of course.
Yeah. We used to do the fake kissing there, and that was about it, really. And then I pashed Michael Beach.
Oh. Again, not for TV.
Not for TV, no, in a sketch for Wrigley's Gum or something.
For yourself.
We kissed. Doug McLeod,
he was the producer, head writer, yeah.
He said that was the worst kiss I've ever seen. It was, because I've never, as he's the only man I've ever kissed, I think. Wow. I've kissed guys on the cheek.
Yeah,
but the lips is yeah. No, lips
it's another level.
It's a whole different ball game. But kissing on screen, very awkward hard to do. Showing your intimacy, showing you know.
What about Lantana? Did you kiss Rachel? Who's that actress? Attractive? Rachel? Is it Rachel? Someone or
Blake?
Was it yeah, Rachel Blake.
Yeah. I don't. I remember being in bed with her, but we weren't getting on at the time. Not as actor and actress. The characters weren't getting on.
But even that was exciting. Lying next to her in bed. That was exciting for
him. Yeah, for her as well. I mean, seriously. She's lying next to any number of different characters that she wants to imagine that she's lying next to Russell Coyd and, you know, Kel Knight, Uncle Arthur.
I never really kissed anyone, but I had a wife in the Nugget, Karen Pang, who used to be on Play School. So we had a peck on the cheek, I think. But that was as far as I got. My only love scene. Yeah.
Well, anyway. No, I'm never kissing you. I might kiss you for like a charity thing.
No,
like
thanks.
If someone gave $1,000.
No, thanks. Yeah, we tried.
How much? Know. Okay, how much for charity? How much would you have to kiss Husey?
No, bugger charity. Well, you know that's funny you bring that up because we went through a stage on Nova where they're all for doing stunts, and they did this stunt where Kate kissed Sasha, the producer, the female producer, and then Kate wanted me and Husey to pash for.
And what happened?
I said no. He was up for it though.
You would have raised money.
No, it wasn't raising money for anyone. It was just trying to get people watching or listening. No. Sorry, No. Charity, bugger charity. I want the money for myself. Thanks very much.
Yeah. No, what you do is you pay to not do it. I'll give the money to the charity to not pass Husey.
Yeah,
I think that's fair.
Yeah,
but no, I have no interest.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. God.
Anyway, there we go.
There's a lovely picture for you.
Yeah. Okay. Bring on the music because I did.
I did pash Daryl. I pashed Daryl as thanks.
Daryl Summers.
Yeah.
Hey Daryl, you followed him out the door after the coke spinning around on the floor.
Yeah.
Daryl, thanks for having me on. Oh, and just lean in. Dave, what are you doing? I don't know. I'm just a very
it's European
friendly person.
It's European.
That's the sort of thing I do.
I've only ever done that with the ostrich. Get away.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. Now please welcome your hosts Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Now, we should mention, our live show's coming up 31st of October. And I was thinking, if people do ask occasionally if you've got kids, if kids can watch, I would say teenagers are fine. We're not that rude, really, are we, Glenn? When we do a live...
Well, if kids listen to... whoever listens, it won't be any different to what you're listening to now.
Yeah. So if you've got teenagers, fine. I reckon we don't. Yeah. And I find on Zoom we don't swear. I tend not to swear much or anything. So.
I swore last week. I heard that, but it just slipped out. It was in context.
Well, we normally give a warning too. If we get often, it's telling an old joke too.
Old joke and it's something inappropriate. I know. I was reading one of the reviews the other day, and a woman was saying she listens with her son. I went, oh, I didn't even think like that. She said every time she's in the car, I'm thinking, I forget. I mean, who do you? Because when I'm on the radio or on a podcast, I kind of picture who the audience member would be. And I'm thinking female in her 30s to 40s maybe, and male's probably a bit older.
I just picture Marcus Graham. I just picture him.
Oh, Marcus Graham.
Yeah,
Daryl. Yeah, and Daryl Summers.
Yeah. I picture the cast of E Street. Who was that? Melissa Tzortz, Marcus Graham, Tony Martin, Reverend Bob, and they're all... Anyway, I don't really picture anyone.
Anyway. So what you're saying is yes, I think kids could look. Yeah, and you get to not only get to see us in where we live, you get to see maybe ask a question.
You can ask questions if you want, if you really want.
We won't answer them, but you can ask them. Yeah, just go, I'm not answering that. No, I'm always happy to. I enjoy a bit of Q&A.
I like Q&A. You know? I like Q&A. That's good fun. It's good fun.
And Kitty Flanagan, I don't know how you must be good friends. I don't know how you got her. She would be one of the hardest people in the country to get for a gig. Seriously.
Well, yeah, and especially she's doing a TV show at the moment. They're doing starting a TV filming show. But it's she said Saturday night she's fine. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
She might pull out the last one. Look, I think she'll be fine. Oh, look, I'm very excited. Very excited. Okay,
so get
anyway.
On board. The link's in the notes, I assume. And should we get? Let's get the topics. So we got two topics. We've got to work out how they're related.
Yep.
All right.
Pajamas and air raids.
Wow. I have never experienced an air raid. No.
Never experienced. Have you been to the War Museum in Canberra?
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's very good. I've been to the one in London. I've been to the Churchill's War Rooms.
That's probably the best historical tour I've ever done. That and the Jack the Ripper. I retraced the steps of Jack the Ripper in London.
You ever been to Crowell Castle in Ballarat?
No? Oh, yeah. No, I haven't, good. But I've heard that's pretty hard to top that. You always rave about
Sovereign Hill.
Sovereign Hill.
Sovereign Hill's great. Yeah. Really
and
good.
Bunratty Castle, what's that? That's
the Macadamia Nut Castle up near...
Bunratty is just short of... It's just out of Ballarat, isn't it?
I don't know if it's still running. That's interesting. Don't know.
Yeah. But air raids. I imagine that Sam is referring to air raids during...
The Blitz. The
First World War.
Second World War. I don't think there were many air raids in the First World War. It was mainly fought in France and Turkey around there, whereas the Second World War was when the planes really took over. Yeah, the Blitz.
When the Germans hit London.
And rockets, too. They were sending rockets. You know, it was incredible.
It was something like 50 consecutive nights they bombed London. Imagine that. Every night, you just go... you hear the... That's me doing the siren, by the way. It's not me.
And then the...
Actually, Hank, who do you think
you are kidding, Mr. Hitler? If you think old England's done,
oh my God! And those kids who are thinking about buying tickets to the show, and we're singing the theme from Dad's Army.
Now, hang on, I'll do a better bomb. I'll do a better bomb sound effect. You ready?
Okay.
That was pretty good, wasn't it?
You cheated.
Yeah, I know. I got a sound, sound effect.
You got
machine.
A sound effects box.
The kids have got it. Yeah. Yeah.
So, is that a buzz bomb?
I don't know, but that's amazing. We complain about the coronavirus, which has been a major inconvenience, but imagine being bombed every night. That's just incredible.
Like, I think about London, I think about Darwin, I think about...
Yeah.
Some people had bunkers in their homes. Other people would go to the
underground.
Subway,
yeah, the underground. Dresden. Yeah, the underground. Do you remember the Germans got bombed a lot too? Dresden just got razed. But London was, I think that's the one we always think about too. But yeah, Darwin, forgotten about Darwin.
What year was that? Yeah. That was 1942, something in the Japanese. And it was like Pearl Harbor, apparently. They just absolutely hammered it. Yeah. I don't know why it didn't continue down through the country. Was there a pushback from the Australian Army? What would it, I don't know the history of that, and I should know. They should be studying this in school. We should learn about it in school.
Well, there's a reason they hit Darwin and not Melbourne, because it's closer to Japan. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so the domino. If it was coming down the map. They were just coming down further and further.
They sent some mini subs into Brisbane, didn't they, or Queensland Sydney Harbour.
Sydney Harbour, yeah. They just popped up and banged off a few shots and wandered out again. Hmm. Incredible.
The underground in London was a big... they used them as a bomb shelter, basically. And then people had their own bomb shelters too, didn't they? And then remember in America, there was that whole thing where in the 50s after the war, there was the Cold War and people would build bomb shelters. They used to sell bomb shelters.
Yeah.
And they have those.
What would your bomb shelter be? What would you have in your bomb shelter?
Oh, well, you know, one of my teenage son talks about bunkers all the time because it's a kind of thing that kids talk about because they see it on the internet or whatever. And these nutty guys that build bunkers. And you see it in science fiction shows all the time. There's always a guy with a bunker who survives, you know, the nuclear war.
So you'd have a couple of luxury items, wouldn't you? You'd have some, obviously you'd have some Diet Coke in there, just ready
to go. Diet Coke, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and you have some chocolate chip biscuits maybe preserved.
A lot of canned food, I believe, you'd have. A lot of canned food.
Really?
Well, you'd have because it lasts. So you've got to have canned fruit, canned baked beans. You need a lot of water. I mean, the really serious bunkers, there's a great show on, it must be Foxtel, and they go and look at people's bunkers. And the really serious ones have toilets and electricity supplies and...
I was in the Midwest of the US, and there's a section there, like there's like the Cyclone Corridor or something.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Everyone has a thing under their house.
Yeah.
And when we were there, we slept in it. And the thing about it, surprise, no windows. So it's kind of you go into it, and I don't know, I watch some of those murder shows, and there are always people, they always get murdered down there.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I don't want to be murdered in my, you know, in my bunker.
In my bunker. You know, my brother Glenn, who lives in Switzerland, we've had him on the show before. I think he mentioned he's got a bunker because it's
oh, really?
Yeah, it's a legal requirement. But as he said, he is the bunker for the five townhouses. And so if shit goes down,
come over.
But he goes, I wouldn't let them in. Don't worry. I'm not going to let them in. Because, they've got all washing and stuff in there, and a guy comes and inspects the bunker every couple of years. There's a bunker inspector.
If you were a teenage boy, though, and you had a girl over, it'd be great.
Go to the bunker.
Can I show you my bunker? I want to come down and say, you have a bunker? Yeah, sure, I have a bunker. Come down, look, enjoy.
See, we only had bunk beds, didn't we? We had no bunkers.
Yeah, no, we had no bunkers. So what else? I mean, what did you do? They used to dim the lights, didn't they? They black everything out.
Yeah. So the plane's flying over because the equipment of the planes, and they did that all around the country in England, and they blacked everything out. And so, you know,
headlights. Yeah, and I had a slit for your headlight on your car.
Yeah, and street lamps were
blacked. And then they would hit them with the searchlights, wouldn't they? What were the searchlights doing? Was that like trying to? I don't know. It was just showing where the plane was.
Yeah.
So they could shoot it.
So the anti-aircraft guns could shoot. And also they had those blimps, big balloons, like Hindenburg hostile balloons.
What, floating around?
Yeah, floating up to try and catch the bombs or put the planes off or something. They were serving some purpose. Yeah. I've seen it in movies, mate. I've seen it in movies. But, of course, they would try and bomb not just London, but, you know, the industrial areas like Birmingham and Manchester where they're making stuff.
You always bomb the supply lines, don't you?
Yeah.
That's what you do.
The railway tracks.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know what else we can say, really.
Well, imagine being in your house and just hearing that siren and getting all the kids or your partner or whatever.
Well, you have to get everything. Yeah, and it would always be during the night.
Yeah.
So you'd go to bed going, I'm not going to last here long. I might as well go straight there now.
Yeah.
You know, it's happened the last 20 nights.
And there's always, in movies and TV shows, they're always in the underground station or the bunker, and there's always a sing-along.
You know,
there's always a sing-along and there's always some guy losing his mind and some guy stepping up going, listen, we're all in this together, right? You've got to get yourself together, chap. You know, that kind of stuff.
Come on, lads.
Yeah.
Where were they in that TV show?
Dad's Army.
No, the other one. The one that Ben Elton wrote.
Blackadder.
That wasn't in a bunker, was it?
No, they were kind of in trenches. They were in
trenches,
sort of like bunkers. Right. That was World War One. That was World War One. That was a great show. Yeah, that was kind of like a bunker. Yeah.
I don't know what else we can say.
I mean, when you go to Europe and play, you can go and visit bunkers, like the old World War II bunkers and bomb shelters. They're really interesting. You'd have a look.
And in Vietnam, when you tried to go into the...
Tunnels, and I got stuck.
You got stuck.
You're big man. Yeah. You're big man.
The only reason... You just went in there because you thought there was a can of Coke in there. And you thought, I'm going to get... No cock in there.
You're a big man.
Pajamas.
Oh, I love pajamas. Yeah.
What time do you put your pajamas on?
Oh, look, I love it. I mean, when I was...
Do you put your pajamas on early and then wander around the house, or do you leave it till the last moment?
No. Depends.
So if I came over at about 9 o'clock, would you have more?
Definitely. We have this thing where if you get your pajamas on first, you walk out into the lounge and go, I won the race. First one in the pajamas, won the race.
So just take me through it. Are you the flannelette?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Elastic, and slippers.
Oh, no slippers, just socks and Birkenstocks, like we talked about last week.
And a dressing gown?
No dressing gown. No.
So you're just wandering
people
around.
People have tried to give me dressing gowns over the years, but I've never liked them. I've never...
I just make me feel sickly. They make me feel like, I just go, you know, if you saw it, as I've said before, I get annoyed with kids who go out in the street in their pajamas and their dressing gown and play in the street. I go, you're either going to bed or you're playing in the street. Don't try to dovetail one into the other. Don't do it.
Well,
okay,
kids
get
that
inside,
line up and watch the Meyer windows in the dressing room. Yeah. You're going to be dirty. You must wear your clothes. Like,
so the idea is that they fall asleep in the car on the way home and then put them straight to bed. No, just seriously. Put them to bed with their clothes on, you know.
I know, I love nothing more than on a Friday night getting into my pajamas after a big week. Well, I mean, you know, the old days I'd be doing gigs and stuff. But these days I'll be doing a Zoom gig and then I'll just put my pajamas on and just kick back.
So is it a t-shirt top or is it a flannelette shirt?
Flannelette,
like Seinfeld talks about, you got a pocket.
I got a
pocket. Got a collar.
And now in my pajama pants, even better, I've got pockets in my pajama pants, which is perfect for me going to my supplies of junk food and putting them in my pants and just walking through the lounge room, not doing anything, got nothing. Yeah,
painting a beautiful picture here. Seriously.
But I remember when I went on tour with a guy called Vic Plume. He was a comic when I first started out with Vic, and we stayed at my brother's house in Sydney, and we were doing some gigs up there, and he just laughed his head off when I emerged out of the bathroom wearing my pajamas. Because he goes, you're wearing a suit to bed.
I want it at least as possible. I'm a boxer guy. Because you got too much going on. You get all twisted up inside. Twist round. It's just, you know, I think you get some childhood comfort. That's what it is. It's psychological for you.
Maybe it is.
Yeah, it's something that you return to deep in your subconscious, the feeling that you get when you're in. So if you're in jail, right? Let's just say you're in jail.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have pajamas. You'd be in trouble.
Oh, you try and bring them in, but I don't know if they'd let you.
No, they're not letting you.
Your flannel pajama. No.
No. You'd be in trouble. And if we went away camping.
Oh, I'd bring my pajamas. Absolutely.
And would you sit around the campfire with me at night with your pajamas on?
Probably not. I'd get up in the morning.
So
with
you
them
go
on.
And you're back in. You what?
I'd get up in the morning with them on. Definitely. I'd just put a jumper over the top and wander out in my pajama pants and probably end up sitting there till midday. And then, I should get dressed, I suppose.
See, don't you feel slothful just wearing it?
Oh, I love them.
So that's Hugh Hefner. Hugh Hefner used to do that all day. I mean, sure, he was hanging around the Playboy Mansion. He didn't need to worry.
When you go to, like, when I went to Vietnam years ago, you'd see a lot of elderly men wearing pajamas during the day and walking around holding hands with
acceptable.
Each other.
In Japan, it's acceptable to wear silk pajamas during the day and out and about.
Yeah. Yeah, they go for walks.
I struggle. I wore my slippers down the shops the other day at the supermarket. I felt a bit self-conscious.
Oh, really?
Would you wear your slippers?
Absolutely.
You wear slippers. You wouldn't wear pajama bottoms. Would you wear a pajama bottom and a jumper on top and your slippers down the shops?
I have definitely worn my pajamas. Like I've also got other sort of country roads ones which look a little bit more like a tracksuit with a striped top. And I absolutely
away with it.
Yeah, I wore that to school drop off several times. Because it's just walk up the street with the kids.
But don't you ever think to yourself, if I have a car accident and then they'll pull me out and they go, no need to change him because he's already got his pyjamas on. They go, no, I don't want that. You can't be, you know.
Well, this is funny because I walked up in my pyjamas a lot and then Pete, the male model, goes, one of the other dads goes, hey, you're wearing pyjamas. I said, no, it's a tracksuit. He goes, no, I've modelled them. They're pyjamas. He knew.
Oh, right. Yeah.
He knew they were pyjamas. But so what do you wear on your top half? So you got boxer
shorts?
Well,
here's my routine is slippers on, boxers on, T-shirt to go upstairs.
Mm.
T-shirt comes off and I throw it in the corner like a man.
Slippers so you sleep off. Bare-chested at night?
Absolutely. There's no, Wow. It's just too hot otherwise.
I've got a singlet and a pajama top on.
But I think when we had the gang come into our backyard, because we had a gang jump the back fence years ago.
What?
And they were being chased by another gang.
What, in Brighton? What were the Brighton boys?
And that was the Brighton boys.
Tally ho!
The Brighton, what you do is if you want to get someone in Brighton, you just hire a gang to do it for you. Yeah. That's what you do. Anyway, they chased this gang and they jumped in their backyard. And I think I went out there in just my boxers.
Yeah.
And faced the gang.
How old were these gangs? How old were they, kids?
Kids are probably 14, 15. Wow. There's about half a dozen. I had a torch on them. And the neighbours were hanging over the fence as well, going, what's on? We marched them off. They said, please, we're being chased. I said, okay, go on, get out of here.
The Halbury boys or whatever.
Before you go, do you want a selfie? How about a
semi-naked man harassing us with a torch?
Yeah, that's what scared him. It wasn't so much the other gang. It was this old skinny.
So you don't get cold at all at night with just nothing on your top?
No.
That's amazing. Because you've got to have a certain – I've read a lot about this. You've got to have a certain amount of heat at night. But it's a fine line, isn't it? You don't want to be overheated.
The number one thing that keeps me awake is I was hot last night. I didn't sleep very well. It's just heat, you know. And you do have to do the one-leg hangout.
I love the one-leg hangout. Yeah.
So, but I tell you, the image that I have, there's the pajamas that you get now. There's what I wear, there's what you wear. And then they used to wear things called night shirts?
Yeah, like a, it's like a nighty.
Yeah. So that was like a caftan, wasn't it?
Yeah. Everyone wore them. Yeah, that's right.
But did the men and the women, maybe just the men. I remember in the Westerns, the men used to wear a pair of pants with a flap at the back of it.
Yes.
It was disgusting.
Like long johns, though.
That's a long john. So that means that means you could go to the toilet without taking your you pull your pants down. Oh, this is horrible. You pull your pants out and then you just unflap the other one.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's practical though, isn't it? It's practical. It's practical.
I think they should bring that back. For someone like you who likes to wear it all day long. Yeah. I think they should put a flap in there so you've got no problem. Where's Dad? Oh, I just saw him playing with his flap. I think he's off to the toilet.
No, I love pajamas. I love pajamas. Yeah. And I have summer pajamas too, which are shorter versions.
So you have a flannelette, and then you have have a short one.
Yeah, I don't think
you have short sleeves and short legs.
Yeah, like a little suit again, like a safari suit.
Would you put the rubbish bins out while you're
absolutely
wearing the shorty one?
And
you put the rubbish bins out.
I go and get the paper every day in my pajamas. Just wander out my pajamas. Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, I don't want to paint a picture here, but I'm going to. Do you wear underpants?
No way.
Okay. I'm just asking because that's worse. Because now I know. Because the legs on with the shorty. Yeah. If you're sitting there reading the paper, you could really disturb your kids because you cross your legs the wrong way.
Terrible, I know.
You are. Because the other day I made myself laugh because my back was a bit sore when I got up. I had my boxers on. I thought I'll do a bit of stretching. Selena was in the other room and I was doing a bit of stretching on the floor. And it was like a puppet show. I had the business sort of doing their thing as I was doing my salute to the sun. It was all on.
Yeah.
It was all happening.
It's all sticking out. Yeah.
It was all sticking out. And I just don't think so I'm saying, warning, I am going to do floor exercises. So don't. So all I'm saying is, you know, beware.
We should have some thinking music or.
Well, we could have some.
Well, I'd love to play Dad's Army.
A theme from Dad's Army.
I watched an episode the other night and it was bloody funny.
Wasn't there a movie called The Pajama Game?
We could have a scene.
Cary Grant and Doris Day, I think it might have been. We could have a scene from that.
Yeah.
Or we could have a. How about this? How about you've got a bunker, right? Like your brother.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we're in London and there's an air raid.
An air raid. Yeah.
And I come over, I knock on the door and you come over because you haven't been lending anyone. And I knock on the door and I come over.
No, you knock on the door of the bunker, I reckon. You knock on the door of the bunker.
Yeah, I knock on the door of the bunker. Into your bunker.
Yeah.
You've got one and I haven't and I come over. Okay. So it's World War II.
Yeah.
We're in the bunker. So we need the dingle.
And then we'll play the Dad's Army music.
Yeah. And then at the end of that, we'll play Dad's. So okay. Everyone's going to win. Okay.
Okay, so. All right, so we need the. Okay, kids. Well, it looks like we're not going to get air raided tonight. Hang on, what's that noise? Oh, Mo, there's bombs dropping. There's someone at the door, Dad. No, we've got to get into the bunker. Don't open the door. Don't open the door. It'll be some freeloader.
Dave.
Oh, God. Look,
Dave, it's Glenn.
I'm in my pyjamas. Glenn,
I'm in my pyjamas too. I've just come straight over here. Look, I'm by myself.
Oh.
I brought some cordial and some jam sandwiches and a hot water bottle.
Hang
can I come in?
Kids, go to the bunk. Run into the bunker, kids. Go into the bunker. Okay. Oh, Glenn, God, you're only wearing your boxer shorts.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, you got to have pajamas on like I've got. See that? That's like...
But I can see your buzz bomber down there. What's can you just adjust your... What's that?
No, that's
just your dress.
That's a chocolate bar.
Just redo your flannelette knot.
Okay,
and,
come into my sure bunker. Okay, kids, you know Glenn. Don't scream. Yeah. He's not.
All right.
He's not the enemy. Yeah. I don't know why he's just wearing boxer shorts. He's got no shirt on.
I don't know. Listen, kids, trust me. Go the boxer. Don't be worried about a flannelette. Why have you got the? What's the deal? You've got a flannelette pajama on. You've got no dressing gown.
Yeah.
So and it's like a little suit.
All the kids are in them. We've all got our little suits on, and my partner.
And what did you plan to do in the bunker? Oh, there's another bomb. What was a big one, did you plan to do for the night? I mean, how many nights have we been coming down here now? Well, this is about 30 seconds. What were you planning to do?
We're going to have a game of Monopoly if you want to get involved. And but also, would you like something to eat? I've got a lot of canned fruit. Would you like some canned fruit?
Yeah, no thanks.
No? Canned fruit? No. I tell you what. If you want to just leave the bunker and there's some beers and stuff in the fridge, and what's your favourite food again? What's your favourite food?
I like jelly.
Jelly's in the fridge. If you want to just leave the bunker, just let him out the bunker, kids.
Where do I go?
Just up the stairs, mate. Up the stairs.
Up here.
Up the stairs. Okay. Just check the fridge, Glenn, and shut the bunker door, kids, and lock it. Good luck, Glenn. Sorry about that, kids. Yeah, he's some kind of pervert. Okay, play the music.
I'm afraid you missed the bus. Cause who do you think you are, kidding, Mr. Hitler? If you think we're on the run, we are the boys who will stop your little game. We are the boys who will make you think again. Cause who do you think you are, kidding, Mr. Hitler? If you think old England's done.
What a scene we painted.
Oh, jeez. The kid's going on. I don't know where your wife. I don't know where my wife was. I think you killed her.
I think you
bumped her off. Yeah, I've killed my wife. Yeah, we're mass murderers. That's what we are, hiding out of bunkers. Anyway.
It's good to hear a bit about Dad's Army, too.
That's a great song. I've got to be honest, never really seen the show. I know you're
what?
A big fan. No, not really.
Great. Great show.
Okay.
All right, so we should have a guess. When Sam said this, I don't know this, but I just assume that pajamas were made because of people like you just wearing your undies to bed. And when World War II hit, surely pajamas were created for men to wear into the air.
I concur. I think that's why they look like a little suit. Because Seinfeld talked about what's the deal with pajamas. And I think that's the reason. That's why you've got a little pocket and a little collar and you've got buttons. And that's why, because you could run out into the street and you had a suit version of pajamas, as opposed to a nightshirt, which was just hanging down.
Yeah.
Or like I was wearing a pair of boxers. Or whatever. So I agree. It was a street version, acceptable street version of nightwear.
Well, let's get the answer, Sam. What is the answer?
Pajamas had been introduced to England as lounging attire as early as the 17th century, then known as Mogul's breeches, but they soon fell out of fashion. In 1915, during World War I, London was under air raid attack. Pajamas became popular with both men and women as they were a very practical but also good-looking piece of clothing to wear to bed. You could be asleep in them one moment and then out on the street escaping an air raid and still look presentable the next. Pajamas were warmer and practical, their pockets were useful for storing things necessary in an emergency. Pajamas were both warmer and more practical than thin nightdresses during air raids, but attractiveness was important for some, too.
Wow, World War One. Here's me saying there was not that much bombing during World War One, but there must have been.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
Yep, so there you go. So we were right. So you could just walk, you could parade up and down the street.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
So you could have, if you were in a raid, you could
You could go to bed with, like Seinfeld says, go to bed with a couple of pens in your pocket.
Yeah.
You can put a couple of pens in there. And as you said before, you could go out into the street with your, with pockets in your in the bottoms.
And then I assume once the raid's over and if it's 9 a.m., you just head off to work in your little pajama suit and do your, right. do your bank job or whatever you do.
Here's the difference, though, between then and now. With then, they had a cord made of?
Oh, the cord.
Yeah, the cord. If the cord ever came out, you were stuffed.
Oh,
you were absolutely stuffed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So to get the thing back in, you had to put a pin on the end of it and sieve it back through.
Yes.
And push it back through. And it'd take you about half an hour. Oh. Then.
But what a great sense of achievement when you get that knob through the. When you get it through.
Eventually. Oh, when you pull up at the other end. And so you go, good. And you would tie a knot on the end so it wouldn't go through again. Anyway, so then they brought in the elastics.
Oh.
Which is great. Now the thing about the elastic, easy, one pull up, one size fits all, job done. It was perfect for dacking though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
If someone had pajamas on, and they were standing there, you know, you just go bang. I remember my dad, I would come home with girlfriends and he'd be, you know, he would be there with his pajamas on. It was tempting to dack him, but they'd be slightly open. They would be, he'd bend over to pick up the newspaper, and it's just all on show, as I said before. But dacking, there is it. Do kids still dack?
I haven't seen them do it to my kids, do it to each other, but I'm sure it still happens on school camps or whatever.
Because, I mean, you can't really dack with jeans now because they're pretty tight. Well, I got dacked.
I remember the last time I got dacked. Again, Kate Langbrook has appeared already once in this podcast. We were doing the 3RRR Radiothon, right, where we used to do radio there together, community station in Melbourne. On the last day, it was a tradition where we'd all wear pajamas. I don't know why. And so I was wearing pajamas and I got up to get a drink from the volunteer room where there were volunteers manning the phones. And she just came up behind me and dacked me, thinking I had underpants underneath. I had no undies underneath.
Yeah.
So my bare bottom was exposed to her face and my front, all my front appendage was, all the volunteers were just staring at me. Like,
yeah, well, because let's be honest, there's a reason that they call you Big Dave.
No, that's the opposite. Trust me.
I never say that. You don't admit to the size of your gear.
It made a sound when the pants came out. It went like this. maybe not, or maybe this one. Hours of fun with this machine, Glenn. Hours of fun. Well,
thanks for what were we going to say?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. No problems. I've been Dave O'Neill. That's Glenn Robbins.
Yeah, do those kids want to buy us sign up for the live one? I don't know now.
Yeah,
Dad's Army and a whole lot of dad jokes. Anyway, it's all good. It's all on topic.
Exactly. Hours of fun.